and Greenland. We'll do part two and post it online. Thanks so much.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KABU. Consider adding KABU to your will or add KABU as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KABU along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KABU to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kabu.fm to notify us of your plans.
KBOO programming is made possible by KABU member listeners and support from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting Taj Mahal with Mark Cohn, featuring guest vocalist Blind Boys of Alabama, Friday, August 16th. All ages are welcome. Tickets and more information is available online at zooconcerts.com. The time now is 5 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is your 5 o'clock news. KABU programming is made possible by KABU member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 5 p.m. More information is available on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KABU Evening News.
Coming up on the KABU Evening News, Governor Kate Brown signs a Senate bill which puts restrictions on Oregon's death penalty.
Multnomah County publishes its point-in-count houseless census.
And in international news, Saudi Arabia guardianship now allows women to travel freely.
Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Friday, August 2nd, 2019.
I'm Tammy Hupteas.
And I'm Michelle Coppola. On Thursday, Governor Kate Brown signed Senate Bill 1013, which will put restrictions on Oregon's death penalty. Under the new bill, terrorist attacks, premeditated murders of children, and law enforcement officers will qualify for the death penalty. However, Bill 1013 aims to narrow the definition of aggravated murder, which is the only crime eligible for the death penalty in Oregon. Under the current Oregon judicial system, when jurors consider the death sentence, they must determine if the defendant is a risk of being dangerous in the future. Senate Bill 1013 will remove that consideration. It's been 22 years since Oregon used the death penalty. As of now, 31 people are sentenced to death in Oregon.
On Thursday, the Joint Office of Homeless Services published a federally mandated report on the number of people living on the streets in Multnomah County. The data was collected by Portland State University using volunteers, city, and county staff. The census shows 2,307 people were sleeping outside, the highest number in the last decade. The report shows that 20% of the people were found living in tents, cars, or under bridges. Many of them are people of color, mentally ill, or have a substance abuse problem. Oregon has the highest rate of untreated addiction issues. The point-in-time count is conducted every 2 years. It focuses on people living on the streets or in car. The Federal Housing Agency doesn't count people who are couch surfing or doubling up, which could make the count even higher. The Oregonian reports that, quote, while the overall number of homeless people counted dropped by nearly 4% to 4,015, down from 4,177, some numbers, such as the increase in people living on the streets for the first time, indicate that the tide of extremely poor people losing their housing continues unabated, end quote.
On Thursday, Washington-based organization Ideal Option announced they are opening a clinic focusing on providing treatment for those afflicted with opioid addiction in Vancouver. The downtown-based clinic was welcomed by Vancouver Mayor Anne McErnie Ogle, among other officials, healthcare providers, and patients. According to the Southwest Washington Accountable Community of Health, SWATCH, opioid hospitalizations have increased by over 200% in the last 10 years, with overdose deaths rising above 40% in Clark County alone. Recent findings reveal how dire the opioid crisis in the Northwest has become. Data released nationwide last month from the DEA documented staggering numbers of addictive opioid pills distributed by national companies to several states. That includes Oregon and Washington. Between 2006 and 2012, more than 1.3 billion pills of oxycodone and hydrocodone were given to Oregonians. The data was finally released after long-standing court battles with the Washington Post and the West Virginia newspaper, the Charleston Gazette-Mail. Nationwide standings have placed Oregon at the top of the list in certain categories for opioid overdose, doses, abuse, and dependence. In reports from 2010 to 2015, the 18 to 25-year-old market led the national statistics, while Oregonians aged 65 and older had higher rates of opioid-related problems than in any other state.
Deputies report that the body of a swimmer who had gone missing was found near Suvie Island yesterday. According to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, the swimmer had gone missing underwater in the Columbia River last Friday and was found on the Suvie Island shore Thursday afternoon. The man was in his late 20s and visiting relatives from out of the area. The body's identity has not been disclosed.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with local comedian April Gallaty about her upcoming comedy show fundraiser with Lawyers for Good Government. At 5:30, it's Counterspin. At 6:30, Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, The Struggle with Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator. Tonight's weather looks like partly cloudy skies, low of about 62. Tomorrow, sunny. It's going to feel like summer again in the early hours with a high of 89. Mostly clear skies throughout the evening with a low of 62, and we'll probably hit the 90s on Sunday. Today in history, in 1918, the Vancouver General Strike began. This was the first general strike in Canadian history and an important marker in the Canadian labor revolt. Today is also the 22nd year anniversary of American writer William Burroughs' death. To quote of the day, it is from William Burroughs. Cheat your landlord if you can and must, but do not try to shortchange the muse. It cannot be done. If you can't fake quality any more than you can fake a good meal.
A New York Police Department judge recommended that Officer Daniel Pantaleo be fired following his controversial involvement with the murder of Eric Garner. Garner was publicly killed in 2014 after being put in a chokehold by the New York police officer. The judge's recommendation came shortly after Attorney General William Barr declined to bring federal charges against him. Both prosecutors and defense attorneys have 2 weeks to respond to Deputy Commissioner of Trials Rosemary Melendeno recommendation. Melendeno's presided over Palantio's spring disciplinary trial where he dodged criminal and civil rights charges. NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill will ultimately decide the final verdict regarding the officer's fate. Veteran police officials say O'Neill faces a no-win situation, risking civil outrage from the city or losing credibility and respect from rank-and-file officials and cops.
World Health Organization officials are attempting to isolate an Ebola outbreak in the city of Goma, Congo. So far, there have been 2 reported cases in the city of 1 million. Officials fear that the virus could have already spread and are scrambling to deliver a vaccine to anyone who has come in contact with any of the patients. The city has been preparing for a possible outbreak for over a year, fearing an epidemic similar to the one that killed more than 11,000 people earlier this decade.
Placed a new law today allowing women over the age of 21 to apply for a passport and travel freely. The Saudi Arabian guardianship has been criticized for years about their policies restricting women's rights. Before the new law, women required to have a man's consent to possess a passport or travel abroad. Many times, the male guardian was the father or husband, or in some cases, their sons. Under the new law, women can now register for marriage, divorced, be issued important family documents, and be legal guardians of their children. However, there are still laws in place that required a ban that requires a woman for male consent, including consent for a woman to discharge from prison, leave a domestic abuse shelter, marry, pass a citizenship to their children, provide for consent for their family, for their children to marry. Many celebrated on social media, but there was backlash from conservatives on Friday that still sided with having male's consent.
Unite Oregon is holding a roundtable meeting with immigrant and refugee community leaders, key allies, and elected officials. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss solutions to protect and support migrants in Oregon. Reports surfaced showing that the Trump administration officials are pressing to zero out refugee resettlement in 2020. Portland's Unite decided to take the initiative and host a conference. Here is Sabab Husseini, the Multnomah County community organizer for the conference.
That we're calling on members of Congress to pretty much do everything that they can in their power that they've been elected to wield to end the attacks from this administration on asylum seekers and to return refugee resettlement back to historic norms. That we're calling on members of Congress to pretty much do everything that they can in their power that they've been elected to wield to end the attacks from this administration on asylum seekers and to return refugee resettlement back to historic norms.
After the meeting, leaders will hold a press conference and create solutions to protect refugees while calling on Congress to overturn Trump's orders. The press conference will take place tomorrow, Saturday, August 3rd, starting at 12 p.m. at Unite Oregon's East Portland office that is located at 1390 Southeast 122nd Avenue.
And in the studio, we have local comedian April. April is putting on a charity comedy show at the Fun House on August 18th. And the funds will go to immigrants who are in need of legal aid from the Lawyers for Good Government. And how are you doing, April?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me in today. I appreciate this. so basically, Funhouse Lounge is allowing us to hold a charity comedy show. And we're going to basically try to raise money for Lawyers for Good Government. They basically are a 501c, which is a charity group that's legal through the U.S. government to fight the unjust laws of this administration. And for folks who need lawyers, and they're committed to helping immigrants overcome hurdles that they face coming into this country. And we felt like that was a good reason, a very good cause, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those people that sit back and go, well, I sling jokes for a living, so how can I help somebody? And this was it. I was like, okay, let's get a bunch of comedians together. They're always a good group of people anyway. And they were like, yeah, I got a bunch of folks to come together and say, we'll donate our time from the building to the hosting to the bartender, Laura Beth, and Christopher Boatwright, you met yesterday, is our host. Laura Beth is our bartender. She's going to be donating her time. And then all of the comedians that we have on the show are donating their time. And we even actually kind of lucked up and secured the headliner, who happened to turn out to be 3 days ago Portland's funniest person at Helium.
Oh, so that's amazing.
Yeah, so we really lucked up. So this show is not only going to be, you know, for a good cause, but we had a really good headliner on deck for this too. So we're really excited. Adam Passy, by the way.
Yeah, super I was about to ask you.
Yeah, Adam Passy, super, super funny guy, yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, the Funhouse Lounge is one of my favorite places mm-hmm. to go see a show. It is so quirky and great, yeah. You know. And what's really great about the venue is it's very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a bad seat in the
house. The bartenders sling good drinks.
Yeah, they do.
Probably shouldn't say that, but I'm gonna. Yeah. And, you know, if you could, let's get to the fun part of this. Tell us about the lineup and the people who are going to be performing in addition to the headliner.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So on August 18th, it's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., and we have an intermission, so there's plenty of times to get drinks. But it ends at a decent time, so you can get home and get ready for work. So that's the thing I like to tell people, mm-hmm. too. Like, don't think you can't come out, because you got time to get home and get ready. But also, like I said, Laura Beth is our bartender. Christopher Boatwright, who's a local comedian, is our host. We have Patty Mansbach, Drew McGrath, Gabby Jesus, Sienna Jade, Jane Malone, and of course Adam Passy, who is our headliner.
And you're going to be performing also?
I am not, actually. You're not. No, actually, I'm just the organizer. I am a local comedian, but I'm putting my time into the administrative part of it. That's my strong suit, I think, in this case.
So how much are tickets, and where can people get them?
Okay, tickets are at the door. It's a $10 suggested donation at the mm-hmm. door. Of course, we'll always take more.
Well, it's for the best of causes, which yeah. I wanted to ask you about a little. So it's $10 at the door. You really can't buy tickets in advance, just line up?
No, unfortunately, you can't. That's we hard. Are going to have a card reader, so I'm going to take people's cards at the door, so cash or card, and yeah.
It's not a huge place, so if you want to come out to this event, I would suggest you get there early, because there's plenty of seats, but again, it's not a huge venue like the Schnitz or something like
right.
that. Yeah, it's nothing like that. It's a club.
It can turn into standing room only. The doors open at 5. The front bar room is open at 5:30, and then they'll open the main doors doors at 5, main door at 5:30.
Okay.
And then, but you can get drinks before the show and get settled.
So this will get done in time so people could actually go out to dinner afterwards,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, finish up.
Tell us a little bit about the organization that is going to benefit from this, what you can as okay. far as the work they do and the kind of things they've accomplished.
Well, they are, it's called Lawyers for Good Government, and it's lawyersforgoodgovernment.org if you want to check them out. And basically what they do is they use the money that they get from donations to train lawyers on how to help people with immigration law particularly. They also try to find lawyers who are Spanish speaking so that they can help people, because we have a lot of Spanish. I know that there's other people coming into the country with
sure.
other language.
That's where the crisis is.
But right now the yeah. crisis is in the Spanish speaking. So that's what they're kind of working towards. They've been, they just try to get the lawyers to the people who need them, and they move them around, because I don't know if y'all noticed, but they won't let regular citizens come to the border and help out. So right. so they are the mediary, and so that's what we're trying to help, kind of get people out there to help them.
And
so.
Of course they need funding to do all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the funding is absolutely essential so they can help the most people, and it is yeah. a crisis at this point. And if you're looking for a great night out, something fun to do, laughing is you gotta laugh
to go.
Or we'll cry at this point, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So let's give the rundown one more time as far as the when, where, and how to get tickets.
Okay, Funhouse Lounge. It's 2432 Southeast 11th on Sunday, August 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a $10 suggested donation at the door. We will take more. Also, all the comedians and stuff will, of course, take tips. We'll pass a tip jar. It's always common. If you want to look into who we're going to be giving the money to, www.lawyersforgoodgovernment.org. They're a good group, and you can read all about them at their website.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you.
Here. And maybe at some point we can catch you on the stage.
Absolutely. Hopefully one of these days soon. Thank you.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. And again, that is our friend April Gallaty. And we appreciate you coming in this evening.
I appreciate it.
So now let's go to National Native News. It is your daily newscast for Indigenous culture and the latest updates.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders in Arizona claimed victory this week after a federal court ruled in favor of their request to halt a mine project on tribal ancestral grounds. The Tohono O'odham, Pasquayaki, and Hopi tribes asked the court to stop construction of an open-pit copper mine by Hud Bay Minerals in the Santa Rita Mountains. The U.S. Forest Service approved the plan, but the court disagreed, preventing Hud Bay from moving forward on the project. Chairman of the Tohono O'odham Nation, Ned Norris, in a statement said it's a victory and the mine would devastate land, water, and cultural resources. The tribe say the area suffered irreversible cultural destruction in the 1980s by mining, including the mishandling of burial grounds. Conservation groups join the tribes represented by Earth Justice in the request. Canadian-based Hudbay Minerals, in a statement, said it will appeal the decision. In Native vote news this week, the Eighth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals vacated a lower court's injunction put in place to protect Native American voters in North Dakota. Tribes and Native voters in the state have been fighting North Dakota's voter ID law, which they say is discriminatory, requiring an ID with a residential street address. The Eighth Circuit acknowledged Native voter disenfranchisement but found the injunction to be too broad. Tribes, Native voting rights advocates, and Native organizations took a number of steps ahead of the 2018 midterm elections, including the issuing of IDs, which led to a surge in Native voter turnout in the state. Attorneys with the Native American Rights Fund expressed their disappointment with the ruling, saying they'll continue to fight for Native voting rights. A bison in Montana, part of the Four Peck Tribe's quarantine program, recently died. As Olivia Reingold reports, the bull was one of five set to join the tribe's bison herd this fall.
A freak accident. That's how Robert Magnin, director of the Fort Peck Tribe's Fish and Game Department, describes the bison's death. He says the bison were fine during a Thursday night check-in. Then, on Friday morning, he found one of the bulls tangled in a 9,000-volt electrical fence with porcupine quills in its face. He says he doesn't know what happened, if another bull ran him into the fence, or if the porcupine spooked him. All he says he knows is that the bison was shocked to death. Over a poor cell phone connection, Magnin says that this was an expensive test of the quarantine's fencing system.
It's kind of a high cost to learn that, but we know we are sure that they're going to stay in it.
In 2014, the Fort Peck tribe spent $500,000 constructing a state-of-the-art quarantine facility for brucellosis. Magnin says his department won't change its quarantine protocol because the fence did its job. It kept the bull inside. And he says that cattle ranchers who, despite lack of precedent, fear that bison can give cattle brucellosis, should take comfort that bison can't escape the quarantine area. The four remaining bison will graduate from the quarantine this October. For National Native News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Cherokee Nation Chief-Elect Chuck Hoskin Jr. announced Thursday a $30 million plan to rehab homes and buildings in northeastern Oklahoma. According to the tribe, there are more than 600 low-income families with housing needs, including elders and citizens with disabilities. The plan, which now heads to the Tribal Council for approval, also creates a number of jobs. Hoskin set to become Principal Chief on August 14th. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
A homeowner is getting an opportunity to reestablish his property. Let's find out more about it with Water and River News with CurrentCast.
A conservation effort that's all it's quacked up to be on this CurrentCast. In an agricultural area of Ann Arbor, Michigan, a group of organizations has been helping one landowner restore about 100 acres back to its native state, a mix of grassland prairie and wetlands. Ducks Unlimited's Jason Hill says restoring the wetlands required little more than removing dams and drainage systems.
The wetland seed bank, those seeds from 70, 80, sometimes 100 years ago, is still in the soil and it germinates. So if you put water back, the wetland plants come.
And waterfowl are taking notice.
We saw green-winged teal, black ducks, mallards, wood ducks, Canada geese.
They're taking to the new habitat like a duck to water. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell University's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 2nd, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032, and we are always actively looking for news volunteers. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Imara Moore, Alex Connor, and Jeffrey Wade. The producer is Tammy Habdeas. Our engineer is Ray Bodwell. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. That's kboo.fm/evening news. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Michelle Coppola.
And I'm Tammy Haptias. Coming up on Monday morning at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 o'clock, more talk radio. At 9 o'clock, the Old Mole Variety Hours burrows down to the roots of the great issues of our times. At 10 o'clock on Locus Pocus. At 11 o'clock, the First Voices Radio. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air, including the news, on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, please go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click donate.
So one more little plug before we go for the evening. Can I do this? I'm hoping that I can. I am a big fan of True Vine, music from the True Vine that you can only hear on KBOO, and I'm going to get to host it for the first time tomorrow morning between 9 and noon, so I'm very excited about that.
9 and noon.
9 to noon tomorrow. If you're into bluegrass, like a little pickin' and a little grinning, by all means, join us. 9 to noon tomorrow, music from the True Vine with me, Michelle C. It should be a fun time.
It will be.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too. Thank you.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KBOO. Consider adding KBOO to your will or add KBOO as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change. But recognizing KBOO along with your family and friends in your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KBOO to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact us at 503-231-8032 or email development@kboo.fm to notify us of your plans.
At KBOO, we think that all deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Project Northwest's third show on Saturday, August 10th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge in Portland. Project Northwest is a local zine that helps promote hip-hop and R&B artists who are local to the Pacific Northwest, with an emphasis on showcasing artists who are Black and POC, LGBTQIA+, women, and artists who experience disabilities. Their upcoming showcase features Timi Hendrix, Zenith, Charlie Fairfax, and Kayla J. Again, that's Project Northwest's third show on Saturday, August 10th at 10 p.m. at the Atlantis Lounge, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. The time now is 5:30, time for Counterspin.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm